All right, everyone. Good evening. Hello. How are you? My name is TJ McCormick, and I have taken this show hostage. You are indeed listening to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. And to set the scene for you, sitting to my left is, in fact, the man who normally is the first voice you hear, is Itzhak Saftless. Thank you, sir, for allowing me in.
Oh, what a treat for me. What an honor.
Ah, please. Now, this is true. Well, you know what? It's a treat and an honor for myself and everyone listening.
Thank you.
Because we are here to celebrate your fabulous new book, and it's called So What's the Bottom Line? And it's all about 76 proven marketing tips and techniques. And before we get into the book, again, painting the mental image here, again, to my left is your normal host, Itzhak. And to my right, appropriately, is the one and only William F.B. O'Reilly, known to his friends and colleagues as Steve, for reasons we don't understand. No, this is Bill O'Reilly to my right. Hi, pal.
How are you, TJ?
I'm well, buddy. I'm
good
well.
Good to be here.
It's wonderful. Anytime I get to spend time with you and now my new pal, Itzhak Saftless. And again, we're celebrating this. And celebration, I think, is an important term because this is a big undertaking. Anytime one decides to go ahead and write a book, have you ever done this before?
No, this is my first.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, you know, before we even get into the book itself, again, So What's the Bottom Line? And it's going to be available just in time for the holidays, and you can actually pre-order it now. You can go to Amazon, you can go to barnesandnoble.com, you can even sometimes, preferably, you can walk into your local brick and mortar. You can go into one of the last three remaining bookstores on the East Coast and actually order it, pre-order it in person. It's like you've been on the air here at WABC for a little bit of time, and I think all of your regular listeners, your legion of fans who tune in every week, would like to know a little bit about you. And I know I would, and I think it's an important thing to understand the source of a book and who put, because it's heart and soul goes into writing a book.
Yes.
Like to get into a little bit of your heart and soul. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What's your background? School, family, life?
Wow.
What's your favorite breakfast cereal? What?
First of all, again, I just must reiterate, it's such a treat for having you taken hostage of the show. I'm deeply honored.
Yes, and I'll give it back to you once we sell 3,000 books.
He's got me tied to this chair.
Exactly, yes.
You will let us free after
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Well, just a little bit about myself. What could I say? I love people.
Yeah.
And that's really the expression of the book and how it all came to be. But just love being around people, love interacting with people.
You're a native New Yorker?
I'm a native New Yorker, born, I believe, in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
Yes, you're correct. It turns out, yes, you were born in Queens. Correct.
Uh-oh.
Get him a book.
Some opposition research here.
You know what your prize is? It's a copy of So What's the Bottom Line? 76 Proven... So I'm sorry. Okay,
and
so
I grew up there. I was there till I think I was 4 or 5 years old. Then moved to Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And went to school there. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Flatbush all my life.
Uh-huh.
So that's Brooklyn. Yeah. Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah. And
I'm 4 years old.
Real people in Brooklyn. That's still the last vestiges of real people, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, again, I don't want to get in trouble with the other boroughs here.
Well, but you know what I mean. I mean, Brooklyn still has that identity of streets full of families and
Absolutely.
Kids playing, and that's why it's become such a magnet for families.
Correct.
You know,
I mean, Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken, if it was its own city, would be, I think, the eighth largest city in America.
Right.
I apologize if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that was the statistic there. So you have everyone there.
And it's neighborhood centric.
Yes.
It's very neighborhood driven, which again implies that whole family. And the reason I get to all this, the reason I'm bringing all this up is because it's important to know the sensibilities behind. You're not some flash Harry. You're not some jet setting metropolitan type. You're a regular guy with quality family values. That's what you come from. And you know, you're comfort food. You're not a private jet. You're a regular guy with good sensibilities, and that's what you're getting across to the readers of So What's the Bottom Line? And I'm sorry, so now you're a family guy?
Yes, family guy, thank God. My mother and father, caring family, five siblings, and now have my own large family.
Yeah, and blessed. And if you don't mind, I'm just curious, what line of work does your family come from?
My father was an analyst for Standard & Poor's, worked at McGraw-Hill for many years, recently retired. And my mother is a makeup artist. She does a lot of weddings and...
It explains his business mind and why he's not too shiny. You have a way with business acumen and powder. Okay. Again, you're listening to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. This foreign voice you hear is that of T.J. McCormick, and true honor and a pleasure to be asked to sit in and interview the actual true host of the show, Itzhak Saflis, about his brand new book, So What's the Bottom Line? And we're also joined by the esteemed Bill O'Reilly, a dear friend of both of ours, who himself is a good guy. And Bill,
Yes.
As you can hear, this is a very kind, gentle, patient soul who hasn't raised his voice yet. This is our Bill O'Reilly, the cuddly one.
He's calling me fat.
No. There's a big difference. You're cuddly. And I know that because I cry very often, and Bill's instinct is to cuddle me and cradle me. And that's just when I miss a red light. That's just when I can't cross the street, I start crying. Anyway, so Bill, you know, you've been helping shepherd this book out, because look, it's when someone writes a book, it's about getting it out there. And Bill, you're a man in the PR business, and you've seen more than a few books come and go. This book is very accessible to anybody who picks it up.
I've worked with a lot of people in public relations and in marketing over the years, and I met Itzhak in 2010, I believe. Right. We worked together on the campaign of a guy named Congressman Bob Turner, who had a major upset, really national story, when he had an upset win for Congress. And Itzhak was absolutely instrumental to that and had such good insights. That's why I love the book. It's stuff that you'll read once, you'll read it in one sitting, and then you'll put it on your shelf and then bring it back out and read it at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
It's got so many biteable insights. And I mean, Itzhak is being very modest. I know his marketing business has been very important in New York. I believe, Itzhak, and I'll throw this to you, you did work on Mayor Bloomberg's campaign, didn't
yes.
you? Did you not?
Yeah, that was a big moment for
us. And he only hired the best. I know, they didn't hire us. They hired the best.
Well, that's why they didn't hire you, and that's why he only won by like a 0.5%. It would have been a runaway, a blowout if he would have hired you. By the way, the only thing I want to argue with Bill on the air is I really believe that Congressman Turner's upset, that your work with Jessica Proud of November Team really was the defining point. Because how did you – I'm going to ask you on the air. I remember the endorsements by many of the papers that will only endorse a Dem and never endorse a Republican. And you got their endorsements. Now, am I allowed to ask you on the air how you did that?
I don't have a clue.
You did it.
I think Bob Turner did it. Well. You know? But you are being very modest, and you're being very shy, because we need to talk about you and your book.
Yes.
But it did work out for Bob, and I think we were all a great team.
That was wild.
And Bob, in fact, does the foreword for your book, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, that's an interesting point. When Bob Turner came up, I realized that that was the first thing I encountered, is that Congressman Bob Turner, who did do a masterful job really just stuck it to them. He did write the foreword here in So What's the Bottom Line? Again, the new book from Itzhak Saflis, whom we are celebrating today. And, you know, again, your first book, what's the story behind the book? Why? You're busy enough. I would imagine from 7 to 9 every day, you're just up and running around, running a business, running a family, you know, keeping everybody happy. And now the book, there had to be, what was the impetus behind taking the plunge?
Yeah, okay. So the story behind the book is, you know, everyone uses the term the bottom line in some way, shape, or form. In America, it's become part of the vernacular.
Sure.
I mean, you know, what's the bottom line? Let's get to the bottom line. What's the, you know, the bottom line is, it's a, however it's packaged. And usually it's used in the term that refers to the financial result of something. You know, they wanted the numbers, the dollars and cents. But many people use it, and the way I use it, is that it's to keep focus on a no-nonsense solution for any particular challenge at hand. Mm. In fact, in my preface, I write that there's, you know, there's one thing that all successful executives have in common, is that they know how to cut through complex challenges and go straight to, quote-unquote, the bottom line. So therefore, that's part of the title. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that every chapter here focuses on takeaways from any particular challenge in the business world and focuses on a particular action step, a bottom line.
It's about getting into a solution. It's about staying in the answer.
Yes.
When situations arrive, even good situations, not even necessarily about a problem arising,
correct,
but when suddenly a business has a wonderful success, well, you got to know how to follow up on that success, how to parlay it, how to make it last.
That's correct. I also must give a thank you to a teammate of mine, Pesach Trapper, who actually came up the way he coined it. So what's the bottom line?
Yeah.
In fact, when the publisher kept getting, well, I'm just going to say it on the air.
Sure. They wanted to cut the so, didn't they?
They wanted to cut the so or the comma
see,
afterwards.
Everybody knows something.
So what's the bottom line?
Oh, you have to have the comma.
So
everybody
comma.
Thinks they know
and
something.
And Pesach kept on saying, he says, guys, you got to get it right. So.
It's see, traditionalist.
He would, and they would ask him, say it. Okay. So he would say it to them. So what's the bottom line? Do you get it?
That makes so much sense. I love it. And congratulations on fighting that battle, Pesach, because no, sir, I would have been in that trench with you. I would have been hashtag keep the comma. That would have been the campaign I would have started. Once again, you're listening to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. That wonderful laugh is that of Itzhak Saflis, who is in fact the host of this show on a weekly basis. My name is TJ McCormick, and I am happily sitting in the captain's chair this evening. And to my right, all of our dear friend Bill O'Reilly, who is a man who is in the marketing and PR business himself, and what a wonderful product to be. You got to be so proud of this. I tell you again, I used the word accessible a few moments ago, Itzhak. And so what's the bottom line is in fact that it's a very, very accessible book. And I think a lot of it's very user friendly. These chapters I think chapter, we could come up with that. You might have, we might need to coin a new term for these, because the length of the chapter makes it very, like little appetizers.
Exactly. I'm looking at it right now, TJ. I'm looking at a chapter called The 11 Power Words of Marketing. Mm. And I never would have thought about them, but they're new, save, safety, proven, love, discover, guarantee, health, results, you. How do you discover these? Like, how do you know this?
Oh, man. Obviously, part of it is just research. But then it's also being out there. I mean, thank God we're around 25 years in the business. And from working and testing the various different words in direct mail, in print ads, on billboards, radio, etc., and picking up on these words, and of course, based on research, I want to share this with the readers.
What works and what doesn't.
Words. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And there really are. There's a science. And of course, there's an art to almost anything in life. But then there are certain things that just have proven results. These words, if you work with these words, you'll see a better result to your campaign. And therefore, I wanted to share that.
How important is language in general to marketing things? I mean, you have two businesses making the same product or providing the same service. One is using the right language and one is not.
You know, I love addressing that because so much when someone has a marketing budget, so much of is really consumed by media. So let's say, for example, a client is going to do a campaign. It's going to be a $100,000 campaign. The creative may only be $5,000-$10,000, and the other $90,000 is on media. So if the words are not crafted properly at the beginning, they're wasting the 90% of the budget, which is getting consumed on media. So therefore, every word, that way the headline is constructed, the way the words come out in the ad and the body copy, and of course the images that are used in the ad, are all so critical. And people lose sight of that because not realizing that the media is consuming 90% or higher of the budget. Therefore, every word that's in there has to be crafted so perfectly, because if it's not, they're throwing 90% of their budget in the drain.
And you know what? And Itzhak Seflis, you make a great point. And I just wanted to just make sure I reach out through the radio and make sure anybody out there who happens to be a small business owner, if you happen to be a mom and pop or a mom and pop and three or four other people, don't think for a second that you shouldn't be listening to this. This isn't just about those $100,000 campaigns or those $1 million campaigns. If you run a dry cleaner, right? If you're out in Westchester or mm-hmm. over in northern New Jersey, if you're out on the island and you run a cleaning service, and you place an ad in your local weekly paper, you should be paying attention to this. And this book is for you as well. This book, So What's the Bottom Line? It's 76 proven marketing tips and techniques. Because similarly, when Larry the dry cleaner owner sets out to do his little quarter page ad for the Suffolk Time News or something, or the Somers Record or something like that. Yeah, you're going to want to craft those words. You know, your budget might end up being $1,500 every 2 months, but that's $1,500 to a guy who's got, So anyway, I guess what I'm getting at is this book, So What's the Bottom Line, Itzhak, is aimed at people in business, at any level of business. Am I right? I mean...
Yes, yeah. In fact, I'm just going to go on a tangent for a second.
It's your show. It's your tangent.
I have two chapters here. One, marketing taken to the cleaners, part one and part two.
That was not a setup. That was not a setup.
It was not.
I'm better at this than I thought. Go on.
Yes, you certainly are very
happy
good
accident,
this.
We call that. Go right ahead.
But on that particular point, you're 100% right. Whether it's a $100,000 budget or a $1,000 budget, or anywhere in between, or a lot more, et cetera. The fact of the matter is the creativity has to be developed so perfectly, and a company must also assess, and we address this in the book, what is the goal of their campaign? Is it a direct response campaign? Is it a branding campaign? So, for example, if it's a direct response campaign, how are people supposed to respond? Is it by going to a website? Is it through a phone number? Is it by going on social media? Is it by showing up at an event? Is all the information portrayed perfectly in that ad? Or is it, let's say, people have to call a toll-free number. Is that number in 6-point type on the bottom? No one thought about making it like a 100-point type.
Yeah.
So there's creativity, but then there's also a focus on the execution to make sure that you get the desired result. So therefore, like you mentioned, whether it's a cleaners, a mega company, when we did the campaign for Bob Turner, it's all about making it clear that there's a specific day to come out and make sure to turn the knob for Bob.
What I love is it reminds me of a scene from a Rodney Dangerfield movie where there's a college professor talking about business who has no idea how business works in the real world. And, I mean, this is not stuff that you get in business school. This is, like, I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at, you have a thing on Kodak Moments what actually works. Like, you have kids that are, like, pumped up on theory. They're like, just injected with theory in business school. But I'd rather hand them one of these on the way out the door and say, by the way, this is how it actually works.
Yeah, take all that theory that was just pumped into your head, and here's the practical application for all that stuff.
And we'll save you $118,094.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that voice is Bill O'Reilly. My name is TJ McCormick, and we are today very happily sitting with Itzhak Seflis, who is the host of this show. This is Mind Your Business on 77 WABC, and we're sitting here with Itzhak celebrating his new book, So What's the Bottom Line? Available just in time for the holidays. If there is a business owner in your life, if there is a college graduate, somebody going into college, somebody thinking about maybe someone who's nearing retirement age, who for all we know, they might be maybe becoming a silent partner, setting themselves up for their retirement.
Or running for Congress.
Yeah. There's more than a few people out there, because this book has such a wide potential audience. And again, the book can be pre-ordered right now. You can go to Amazon. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to your local bookstore, and you can pre-order this. It will be available just in time for the holidays. And again, So What's the Bottom Line? And Itzhak, you just mentioned the 6-point type versus the 100-point type, and the ad. And what would be say one or two, what's one of the, some of the more, most common mistakes made by somebody going into a campaign, an ad campaign, or into the marketing of a business? What are some of the things that you see all the time make you wince and you go, ooh, they did it again? What are some of those mistakes that might be addressed in this book?
I would say it's not defining a particular goal for the campaign and just running, letting the creatives. Now, again, I have nothing against creatives. I went to FIT myself, love creative work. But the fact of the matter is, I've seen so many campaigns where the result could be there, the return could be there, if they kept focus on what the goal was and then work backwards and develop the creative to match the goal. It's surprising and shocking how many campaigns are out there where the goal is I guess was probably not clearly defined, and therefore the creative does not necessarily jive with what they're intended.
So the campaign has to fit the goal.
Absolutely. And then the creative has to be there in order to then it so that it all makes sense to the intended target.
Sure.
Now and I'm sorry, just on that note,
brilliant.
There are times, for example, Bill will know this well, where in a political campaign, we'll work on something where the intended target is not necessarily the recipient of the piece. Again, this is a little more of a complicated idea, but I do address this in some chapters throughout the book, where let's say we're trying to affect public opinion on something. So we'll do a direct mail into a particular district where the voters there are not necessarily going to do anything. There's not going to be any particular application for them to execute on. However, the elected official of that district now knows that they were that their constituents were targeted, and therefore we then use that pressure on them. So again, maybe I'm going off topic here, but that's so there. But the goal was clear. Whoever was trying to do this, particular campaign, still had something in mind with an intended goal. So therefore, even though it's going over the heads of many people, but there is still a goal there that the elected official says, "Oh my gosh, they're talking to my constituents directly," which no elected official really likes.
Yitzhak, mm-hmm. is it true that the Chinese government has banned your book? they don't want these secrets out?
Well, if they read page 89 and 92, I may be in trouble. But I'm not aware, unless you are, that they officially banned it. But I do address the Asian government doing a marketing campaign into a Jewish area, and I found that a little strange, and I address it in the book.
Oh, it's great. Terrific.
So there's a little bit of potential controversy in it. All right. Well,
you got to pick it up
to find out. Yeah, absolutely. So what's the bottom line is the book. This is 77WABC. The show is Mind Your Business. My name is TJ McCormick, sitting here with Bill O'Reilly and Yitzhak Seflis, who is the author of So What's the Bottom Line. And by the way, you mentioned also a word that was a real buzzword a couple of years ago, and now it's settled into, again, to use the word vernacular, it's settled into the vernacular. People now are a lot more hands-on with the idea of branding. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine from my experience with the notion of branding, that's about finding the best way to meet your customers' needs, and that's the whole, that's what you want to do. Tell us about the role of branding in this book and in a campaign itself. You mentioned the word, and it's still,
Sure. Now, branding is one of those magic words that really define that every point of contact that you have with a prospect, with a client, with any relationship, has to have a certain identity.
Yes.
And it must communicate what you're all about. So whether it's the stationery that you're sending something on, whether it's your invoices that you're even billing a client, I love to advise on that, and I talk about it in the book. People sometimes take that for granted. They're like, okay, when I'm doing my marketing campaign, I got to make sure my branding and my identity is all accurate. But when it comes to the bill, who cares? I'll just use a regular QuickBooks piece of paper and send it out. That's a mistake. That's part of branding. Have it on a nice full-color invoice. Send it to them properly. Let them at least, when they're staring at the invoice, like, oh my gosh, it's $2,500. Let them at least, I was done by a professional company. Correct.
Yep.
So branding is, whether it's the website, whether it's the stationery, social media, brochure, print ads, whatever your marketing mix is.
Sure.
Branding is very, very critical.
And you might as well, because you know what? Any small business, especially a small business owner out there who's ever said, oh, you know what? I need a logo. You ever try to get a logo made that doesn't look like it was a do-yourself? You got to go find a graphic artist. You know what? Anybody getting a decent logo, just anything, that right there, you're already going to be dropping some good coin, and it's worth it. It's very valuable, well-spent money. You might as well use it. You might as well. My wife is a small business owner. Mm-hmm. Penny Lane Dance Academy in Somers, New York, where your child's first steps are magical. Anyway, I love my wife, Miss Andy, the owner of Penny Lane Dance Academy. Anyway, thank you. It's like I'll leave a check behind.
No, but
the thing is that, you know, there's a brand there, and you know, and she is always very mindful of it. It's a school. My wife's from England. It's a British curriculum, etc. Mm-hmm. And she's very mindful of that. And there's always going to be a certain, even when she's just sending out an update email to the families, there's a little bit of a flair there that says. Penny Lane.
That
you know what I mean?
Great.
It's so what you just said resonated. And again, if you're listening, if you're out there in your car right now and you're on your way home, or if you're the owner of a small business, a large business, you're in the marketing game, even if you're a mid-level manager at an existing company, you want to go out and you want to grab this book, So What's the Bottom Line? Because there are lessons in here for everyone. And I started to get to it a few minutes ago. This approach you took with the chapters, they're not epic journeys. These are not odysseys, these chapters. You get it across in a very timely. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, listen, we're no strangers to the world we live in. We're living in 2015. I mean, Twitter is how many characters? 140?
140.
140 characters. I thank God I have a little bit more space in each chapter to write a little bit more than 140 characters. But we live in this day and age where everything is a soundbite, everything is a snippet. Now, in order to give across a concept, you have to do it. You need more than a few sentences. But there's no question that to just come out with a long, heavy-winded 800-page book is not the way to go today. Now, I'm not saying there is no place for that, college, whatever.
Sure.
But if someone just wants to take something, read it on the train.
I was going to say, you could do a chapter here between Grand Central and Union Square.
We could probably do two or three in that. It depends, express or local. Depends which one.
I was doing the express, yeah.
With express, two chapters, local, probably four, something like that. But it's 3-4 minutes a chapter.
I've got to ask you about page 60 here.
Okay, ready.
Which is entitled Smelling the Money.
Oh.
I'm gonna read from this for a second and then ask you about it.
Okay.
And from the book, I quote Yitzhak, find any newspaper, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, etc. Hold it firmly in both hands and slowly bring your nose towards the rectangular ink-filled page. Close your eyes and take a whiff. What do you smell? And then you go on to talk about an extraordinary marketing technique that's being used that I had no idea about. Can you tell us?
Yeah. Now, I really tried to cover the various different types of marketing that exist out there. And one of them is about using the sense of smell, which, of course, is an incredible one of the primary senses that we have. It is used frequently in catalogs. You'll receive a Saks Fifth Avenue catalog, a Bloomingdale catalog, and there'll be a cologne or perfume in there that they'll actually have, right? When you peel that page, there'll be the scent of that perfume on that page. There are marketers out there that are starting to use this even in a more, I don't want to say deceptive, but a more covert,
subliminal,
I guess the right word, way. And that's why I wanted to address it inside this book. There are ways that companies can, with the inks that they use and the scent, so for example, in direct mail, that you'll open it up and you may have a certain emotion that's evoked because of the scent that was added to that piece.
Peppermint ink, I read that you've got in here.
These are actually, and this is technology that's out there that's being used.
Fascinating. I mean, I know they do that in supermarkets. They literally, they spike the air.
That's right. Yeah.
The produce section smells like pineapples. And meanwhile, there's not a pineapple in the store because it's February. You know, you smell popcorn. What do they tell you when you're staging a house to sell it? Put a pot of coffee on.
That's right. And baked bread.
And baked bread.
A little garlic, too, yeah.
A little bit of garlic. And now we're doing recipes.
Making scampi over here.
Exactly. We're making scampi. Oh, scampi. Wow, we need to end the show now so we can go have Scampi and then come back and
if
talk.
If you'll untie us, TJ,
no, you're stuck. The name of the book is So What's the Bottom Line? The name of this the name of the station. Of course, you're listening to the juggernaut station, WABC 77 WABC. The name of the show is Mind Your Business. Your regular host Itzhak Tseflis has invited myself, TJ McCormick, and Bill O'Reilly to join him as we talk about and celebrate and pronounce the arrival of So What's the Bottom Line. And we have plenty more to talk about. When we come back, we're going to ask Itzhak about his group. He is the head of Bottom Line Marketing Group. We're going to ask a little bit about BLMG and what they do and how that has influenced and brought about this book, So What's the Bottom Line, which again is available for pre-order right now, pre-holiday. It'll be home, available just in time for the holidays. Makes a great gift for anyone who ever sells anything. Your kid has a lemonade stand? Get him a book. We'll be right back with more here on 77 WABC. This is Mind Your Business.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we are indeed back here on 77 WABC, here on Mind Your Business. My name is TJ McCormick, and I have been invited to sit in the captain's chair for this evening's show by the normally the captain of this show, Itzhak Tseflis. Hello once again, sir.
Hello, TJ. Thank you.
What a
treat.
Oh, we're having a great time.
What a treat.
Having a great time. And also...
That's right. Thank you, Bill.
Bill O'Reilly.
Great to be here.
The ever-present, charming Irish son of a gun that he is. Bill O'Reilly, a great guy, knows what he's talking about. And again, we're here. The reason that I'm in the seat that I am sort of quarterbacking this tonight is because we're here talking about a fabulous new book, and it's called So What's the Bottom Line? And it has been written by your regular host for this hour, Itzhak Tseflis. And Itzhak is, and listen, again, as we started off the show, acknowledging the fact you've established quite a presence here on 77 WABC, and you have a legion listeners and just people who love the show, love you, and now we're getting to know you a little bit. And one of the things that we just wanted to touch on really, really quickly is that you're not just a guy who shows up once a week and puts on a great show. You are a businessman, and you have a company called Bottom Line Marketing Group. Why don't you tell us a little bit about just quick synopsis of Bottom Line Marketing Group?
Well, thank you. Yes, we've been around actually now 23 years. Right, we started in 92, so I'm doing this for a while. We do all different types of marketing in general, corporate, political, and nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Political, one of our real famous ones was the Bob Turner race, which, as Bill alluded to earlier, was an incredible upset victory. I mean, really. I was at one event in 2011, a few months before that great race, and it was already clear with David Weprin against Bob Turner, and this political—I guess it was in Westchester. This political insider told me, he says, "You know, Bob does not have a chance." I said, "Okay, you know what? In every race, there's odds. What are the odds?" So he says, "You know." He's thinking, I'm going to be very generous. He has a 1 in 4. He has a 25% chance of winning this. I said, okay. Well, I wasn't cocky or anything. I didn't say he was going to do it, but I was like, okay, that, drummed up the resolve. All right. we got to do it. We got to pull up this upset. But that was among bottom lines, really exciting client roster and races that came up with a W.
But I think it goes to this conversation we're having today about the book is that when you have limited resources, you have to use them right.
That campaign, that's right. We are shoestring budget.
But the words have to be right. Like, how important, Yitzhak, is messaging to a business or obviously to a campaign or to others? How important is it to have it tight, to have the message honed? You talk before about the importance of making sure that your advertising, when you have a small budget, is done correctly because you're wasting it otherwise.
Right.
I mean, it seems to be a critical thing. I worked with a campaign years ago that was about to do a $4 million television ad buy, and the candidate suggested that the campaign invest in a focus group to look at the ad. And everyone said, we don't want to spend $35,000 to have a focus group to look at this thing. And the guy said, we're about to spend $4 million behind this ad. Right. Make sure it's the right one. Now, not everyone has $4 million for an ad campaign, but if you have $4,000 for an ad campaign or for a web campaign, and I know your business has a lot of online and social media, make sure it's right. Right?
1,000%. In fact, in the Bob Turner race, one of the real, I shouldn't say secrets, but the major advantage that we had in crafting the message was the fact that McLaughlin Associates, John McLaughlin, had done great polling.
That's right.
So we had studied that polling, and in fact, I brought along one of the famous direct mail pieces that we had done in that race. This was a totally based on the research that was done in that poll. We knew in that particular race that Obama and his relationship with Israel was on the minds of many in that district, and he at that time was going on one of his bus tours about the economy, and we came up with this headline and this picture and even the fine print and everything.
Let's paint the picture, by the way, just so everybody knows. This is a mailing piece that people get in the mail.
Around
campaign time, election time, and it's a photo of the Barack Obama on the phone, looking casual, feet up on the desk, and it says Obama thinks he can fix. You were saying he was doing his bus tour. Obama thinks he can fix the economy on a bus, and he already threw Israel under it.
Whoa!
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
And
tight message. Yeah.
And. Oh, and then the subtext, it's time to put on the brakes and send a clear message to Washington. The top, for a lot of people, that was a fact. And, when you see Bibi Netanyahu being forced to use the service entrance of the White House, how is that? how can you debate it?
We had to push that button hard.
And we did.
And at the end of the day, the Jewish community in the district voted, I believe it was around 75% for Bob Turner against David Weprin, who's a Jew, Orthodox Jew.
Exactly.
That was a real fascinating dynamic to that race.
Amazing dynamic.
Yeah. How do you deal, Yitzhak, with the eyeballs are pulled 1,000 different ways now. And as a marketing, it was always direct mail originally. But now, just especially in the New York metropolitan region, where people are pulled in so many directions, there's a website for every possible thing.
Everything.
How do you get to people? How do you make sure that you reach everybody that you want to reach?
Well, that's going to address a few different issues. One is about the fact that we're all bombarded with messages. So a few years ago, a study was done that the average person takes in 3,000 messages every day, 3,000 branded messages. Remember, it could be looking at a watch and the name of it, and the back of a bus and on the subway.
Especially now with electronics.
The emails. Okay.
Absolutely.
Then recently, went up to 5,000. I think there was a new study done that you get bombarded with 7,000 messages. It's all semantic. I mean, 3,000, 7,000, yippee, you're bombarded.
Right.
So obviously, there is a art and a science, and put all that together. So when a company needs to get out its messaging, number one is, like we said before, make sure that you have the goal clear, so that if you have to give over one quick message in those precious 2-3 seconds, what is the recipient going to take away from it? Do you want them to act on something? Do you want them to follow through on something, make a phone call, go to a website? Make sure it's very, very clear, because you have those precious 2-3 seconds. If you get them in those 2 seconds, they'll probably spend another minute or two on your message, but you have to make sure that you really have great focus on what the quick takeaway is when someone looks at that ad.
Is less more?
Yeah, well, less in general is more. Now, we know that you look at the Google page, right? Yay, there's a box on there.
It's a very successful box.
Yet at the same time, Ogilvy, right, the man in the Hathaway shirt, right, that was a famous one where they had, I don't know, 2,000 words of copy. Now, I think there were studies done that that type of ad can work even in today's environment. But again, it comes from a vantage point of who are you trying to reach. Is the prospective target of that particular campaign someone that will want a lot more information? Then you can give more information. But just make sure that the quick takeaway is that it pays for you to read, to consume all this information.
And again, you know, I'm a broken record on this. And by the way, again, you're listening to 77 WABC. The show is Mind Your Business, and we are discussing. My name is TJ McCormick, along with Bill O'Reilly, and we are speaking with the host of the show. Usually every week, Itzhak Saflis. We're discussing his new book, So What's the Bottom Line, available for pre-order now, just in time for the holidays. You can go to all the usual suspects. You can go to Amazon, and you can go to BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to your local store and patronize locally. I was just going to say, I'm a broken record with this whole, this book is for anyone. It was written in a very, very accessible way that you don't have to be a business or a marketing major to understand. And in that last little diatribe that you presented, there was just so much common sense in what you said, about the takeaway and the quick hit and being consistent in your message and your branding. It all needs to come together. And, you know, I that's why I just want to implore anyone who's listening right now and thinking, they're talking about a business book. No, we're talking about a book. Really, in some cases, it's a life book, because honestly, you know what? Everybody has their own little personal brand. You know, even if you work in a big corporation, if you're working on the campaign of a politician, and you want to get yourself up from the guy or gal who's answering gal. I just welcome to WABC 1964. The lady who's answering the phones, and you want to step up and actually, you know, there's going to come a moment where you're going to have that couple of seconds to sell yourself, right, to give your own elevator pitch about you. There are so many life lessons in a book like So What's the Bottom Line that, again, you don't have to be, you know, a Wharton Business School. I'm imploring anybody listening to really pay attention and know that these are lessons that you can benefit from. You can benefit from this book, let alone someone that you love, someone in your life who's in business, going into business, is starting off in a new career, or even, like a lot of people, in this so-called recovered economy, there's a lot of people getting back on their feet. It's like they're getting back in the game, reinvigorating. Maybe there's a business out there that just now found itself a little extra cash, and now how are they going to use it? You know, and all too often they don't spend the money in the smart spot.
I was just looking at page 81, naming your company, and you're saying how important it is to have
about the basics, right?
The right name for the company. Would you recommend that a company that's misnamed rename itself? Like, how important is it?
Down?
Yes.
Can you even do that?
Right. That's an excellent question, because if there are some guidelines out there, but in general, if a company is out there with the wrong name, but it's out there for a number of years and it's branded and has a good reputation, then usually the thinking is don't touch it.
Leave well enough alone.
It does not pay to touch it. Obviously, if there's some type of issue that they're trying to distance themselves from, then obviously, you change the name and you try to break from the past. Take, for example, recently when HP spun off a division, they still kept the HP name, but they have with Enterprise Solutions, etc. So because HP is a branded name, so you definitely want to keep that. So naming a company is critical. If you did not name your company yet, you could, you know, make sure to give a lot of thought to do it right. But once, to answer your question directly, once you name it, if you have a good reputation out there, probably does not pay to touch it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because my mom just last week called me saying she wanted to rename me. And thank you, Mommy. Thank you. And you know what was interesting? I was going to go from T.J. McCormick to Shlomo Rabinowitz. And I had no idea why. And she still won't tell me. So, Mom, if you're listening... So 77 WABC.
Your son Shlomo.
Your son Shlomo is saying, I promise I'll call. The show is Mind Your Business. It's 77 WABC. And my name is in fact, Shlomo McCormick. I am TJ. And so grateful to have been asked to sit in and quarterback this show for Itzhak Saflis and also with our dear friend Bill O'Reilly. And we're here to let everyone know about the arrival of Itzhak's new book, So What's the Bottom Line? It's a great book. It provides you with 76 proven marketing techniques, tips and techniques, technips. I don't even know. And again, as we just alluded to, it's for building your business and your personal brand. Whether or not you know, that is such an important thing. You know, one has to be consistent in how they present themselves Again, we're coming out of a shaky economy. Some people say we're getting there. Some people say, what recovery? And a lot of people are sort of right in the middle. And so this is prime time for people who are reinventing, restarting, regrouping, and trying to take on the next 20 years and right a ship that could have been turned over between 2007 and 2011, yeah. You know? And so, again, that's why this book, you're listening to this show, this book is indeed for you. And it's called So What's the Bottom Line? And it's like... there's a talking about eyes being pulled in a million different directions, as mm-hmm. Bill alluded to earlier. You have a chapter called Can We Really Do 17 Things at Once? It is a fast-paced society we live in. This is a book written for a 21st century entrepreneur and business person. Tell us a little bit about that. Can we really do 17 things at once?
Yeah, well, I that was a lot of fun writing that chapter. There are two different vantage points that I address in there. Number one is the fact from the individual themselves. Realize when you pick up a cell phone, when you're in the middle of a conversation, you're going to be distracted. It's not possible. We're human. We cannot do 17 things at once. And studies have shown, and I talk about it in the book, that there was a particular study done. In fact, I actually want to quote it. I have it over here.
While you find it, yes. I just saw a guy texting while he's driving. Put that phone down on the turnpike. That guy. It's always that guy.
And we address it here. We have over here. So Harvard Business School analyzed 9,000 workers in creative fields and found that the likelihood of creative thinking is higher when people focus on one activity for a significant part of the day and collaborate with just one other person. Okay.
Wow.
So that's one angle.
Wow.
Is the fact that if you want to get something done and you want to have complete focus...
Don't have a committee.
Don't have a committee. And even yourself, make sure to give exclusive focus on that particular item that you're trying to address. That's one angle.
Well, you are talking to the right guys. And I'm sorry, we can't.
ADD.
Public confessions. And the other part that I want to address is the fact that, okay, we are dealing with a society that does a million things at once. Sure. So how do you get through to someone? Yeah. And I have over here a line that says, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So that means we're fighting for attention spans that are so short because people do 17 things at once, and therefore this comes back to what we discussed earlier. Make sure that your ad could communicate that there's some takeaway within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Because if you can't communicate something within those 2 seconds, you lost them.
One of my favorite ads was a bus campaign that I saw in New York about 20 years ago. I believe it was for Virgin Atlantic.
Okay.
And the copy was, we didn't get to be number one by treating people like number two. but you talk about a number
That's
two
right.
in here, Avis. And you talk
That's
about
right.
that classic,
they, yeah,
the
I
classic
love
that. Example.
I revisit that campaign.
Can you talk to that? Because we rented cars from Avis because of that tagline.
Yeah.
My family did for years.
Yes.
It's an amazing
I still do.
It's genius.
Yeah, and I revisit that, and I have a chapter on it because There, they took a step back. They understood their goal clear. They wanted to continue to grow their business. Yet at the same time, Hertz was the number one. And so they said, you know what? What is our USP? What is our unique selling position? And then the agency that they were dealing with took a step back. And again, it took courage on Avis's part also to say, because a lot of times people have this pride and like, but they said, you know what? No, we're all out to really get ahead and to get the right customers. And you know what? If being number two will then communicate that we will try harder.
Yeah.
We will go the extra mile for you. We will do whatever it takes to satisfy you. That was an incredible uniqueness that they ran with and brought in bundles for them.
Yeah.
Because that and that's why I revisit that campaign. I mean, one of the takeaways I have is that don't be afraid to, you know, of yourself. You're saying, come out there and saying that you're number two in a field. There's nothing wrong with that. Come out and then explain to the consumer why, because I'm number two, I want to be better because I really am dreaming about being number one.
Yeah,
we try harder.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. A brilliant campaign.
Yeah, that voice is, of course, the one you've come to know and love, Itzhak Saflis. And he is the author of the new book, So What's the Bottom Line? 76 Proven Marketing Tips and Techniques. And this is his show here on 77 WABC. It's Mind Your Business. My name is TJ McCormick. And Bill O'Reilly, who, again, many of you have met in weeks past, he and Jessica Proud have ably filled in. And as we talk about So What's the Bottom Line, you know, very often, again, small businesses, it can be a very daunting thing going into, you know, what's an ad going to cost? What's this campaign? Like we said earlier, a logo. I got a guy to draw a logo. Yeah, and you know, $16,000 later for a tiny square of ink. You know, it is. I think it's become a bit of a cliche where people say the first thing that a business cuts when they're in trouble or having to navigate some treacherous waters is the advertising budget,
yes.
Is the marketing budget. And you would probably tell them, ooh, not so fast.
Yeah, well, actually, I have a couple of chapters on that because this book was a six-year project. And
goodness gracious.
Yeah,
wow.
A six-year project, and which means it started back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And in there, I have some chapters that talk squarely about using and leveraging the fact that there's a recession. We understand there are scarce resources, precious dollars, but the ones that stick it out and go on whatever shoestring budget is set aside for marketing, but then devote it properly back into marketing, will be the ones that when it comes around as it has, they'll be up on top.
That's it. That's it. And so it's important to spend that money. And as you said earlier, spend it wisely as we get into sort of a recap mode here, talking about So What's the Bottom Line? The new book available now for pre-order just in time for the holidays. You can go to all the usual suspects, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, to get this for yourself, for your friends. And again, if you're listening and you think this book doesn't apply to you, I beg to differ. It does. So again, to start recapping a little bit, you want to spend your money wisely and after you get through spending a ton of dough or a certain amount of money on the creative side of an ad campaign, you better spend that money wisely, because by the time it comes to implement it and put it out there in the media, that's where you're really gonna spend a lot of money.
Yeah. And we have a chapter even in here about how much a company should set aside for marketing. We discussed that.
It's practical tips. It's right. Skip business school, buy the book.
The
you know, one thing we haven't even had a chance to talk about is multi-channel marketing,
yes.
Which is to touch a little bit of every different area.
Yes.
Do you have 30 seconds to talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. Just as we talked before about different senses, you want to try to communicate with people in various different ways. So therefore, that's why a company will have a billboard, a radio ad, direct mail, a print ad in trade publication, social media, website, etc. Why? Because one thing feeds on the next.
All the same?
Same consistent messaging, meaning the identity and the branding has to be consistent. When they're disjointed, which we talk about in the book, then people get mixed messages and it doesn't work. But when it's all feeding
and
off
you
each
flushed
other,
all your money down the loo, right?
That's correct.
Right.
And so to avoid
pitfalls such as that and the proverbial loo of life to avoid Penny Lane dancing. To avoid tripping into the privy of the business world, you want to make sure that you go out and you protect yourself and you fill your mind with the kind of practical knowledge and based on really decades of experience of Itzhak Saflis, who is the author of this new book where you can go to get this kind of knowledge.
The book that Wharton Business School doesn't want you to see.
Yeah, no. This is where millions of dollars in business school tuition is just going to go to evaporate. So what's the bottom line? Itzhak, congratulations. God bless. Mazel tov. Go get them. Everybody, go pre-order this book right now. It's available just in time for the holidays. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. Go to your local retailer. My name is TJ McCormick. Our buddy Bill O'Reilly, thank you, sir, for sitting in as well.
Thank you, TJ.
Itzhak.
Thank you,
everybody. 77 WABC. This is Mind Your Business. Go get the book. So what's the bottom line?
Thank you.
WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Itzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Itzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.